Welcome to the pilot episode of the DSU SOPA Pod, the DeSales University School of Performing Arts podcast. I'm Kay O'Rourke, people call me K.O., and I serve as assistant professor of theater and head of performance faculty. This podcast was inspired by an enthusiastic desire for collaboration among the three departments in our school, the Department of Dance, the TV Film Department, and our theater department. Each episode will highlight a guest artist from one of the three performing arts departments featuring a student host. We are thrilled to launch with a fantastic actress, playwright, educator, and spoken word poet, Jaylene Clark Owens. Musical theater major Harley Roach hosts. Check the show notes for information about the new arts administration track, information about how to get tickets to our 2025-2026 season, and some info about the DeSales University Summer Theater Institute and other ways to connect. Here's my colleague from the dance department, Alisa Tucker Parks.
Hello, everyone. My name is Alisa Tucker Parks, and I'm part of the faculty here in the DeSales Dance Department. At DeSales, students pursue a Bachelor of Arts in Dance, receiving rigorous training in ballet, modern, and hip-hop, while also exploring a range of other dance styles. Our program is designed to balance technical training, performance opportunities, and academic study, creating an enriching dance education. As part of the curriculum, our students participate in weekly Friday masterclasses led by professional guest artists from New York, Philadelphia, and beyond. These classes expose students to a diverse range of styles, offering a well-rounded view of the dance world. Throughout the year, our dancers perform in multiple concerts, showcasing student choreography, faculty work, and pieces by guest artists. We also offer two exciting summer intensives. The Youth Summer Dance Intensive, also known as Youth SDI, is for ages 11 to 13, and the Summer Dance Intensive, SDI, for dancers age 14 through high school. Want to join our dance community? We hold two audition opportunities each year, one at our fall open house and another during Dance Scholarship Day in the spring. Auditions are required for both artistic acceptance and scholarship consideration. To learn more about our program, events, and how to get involved, visit our website or follow the DeSales Dance Department on social media. And now, here's my colleague from the TV Film Department, Mary McDermott.
Okay, a lot of fun things happening in TV film coming up. We've got SVI, or Summer Video Institute, which offers high school students an introduction to digital movie making. You can earn college credits and get a nifty t-shirt. Each student creates a minimum of two short films and collaborates on others. Hear lectures on screenwriting, which I'll be teaching, as well as how to design, shoot, stabilize, and edit films from DeSales faculty and staff. SVI students are also introduced to the university's new virtual production studio. Final films are celebrated with a live screening in our 100-seat 7.1 surround sound screen room. To enroll, find out all of the good details about the application deadline, read a message from Director of SVI Professor Chuck Gloman, go to the show notes. Additionally, we want to say check the show notes for links to films featuring collaboration among students of the performing arts.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Alisa. Again, this is KO, and I hope you enjoy our pilot podcast. God bless.
Hi, it's nice Hello. To meet you.
Same here.
My name is Harley. Would you like to introduce yourself to the podcast?
Sure. My name is Jaylene Clark Owens.
It's nice to meet you. We're happy to have you here at DeSales. Do you want to tell me a little bit about like what you do in general before we get into like the deep questions?
Sure. I am an actress and a spoken word poet. Those are my primary things that I do. I'm from Harlem, New York, but I live just outside of Philly. And I love acting. I love writing. I'm also an author. I do wear multiple hats, but I would say my primary is acting and doing spoken word poetry.
And I know you went to Ithaca, right?
I did.
You got your BFA there?
Yes, I did.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about your education there?
Sure. I was literally just saying to KO that this campus reminds me of Ithaca College. All the sprawling greenery and the color of the buildings, like just the vibe. I got a BFA in acting with a minor in writing, and I loved my college experience. I think it did prepare me for the real world in that, like, while I was there, I was the president and founder of a spoken word group called Spit That. And working with Spit That helped me so much in my postgraduate life. Like, it allowed me to learn about directing and being, you know, organizing performances and working with actors or poets. Like, my college experience, I think, in addition to the education of, you know, acting and working with writing, it also gave me real life experience, which was great.
Did you know that you wanted to, like, minor or get a, like, education in writing when you first went to Ithaca, or did you, that kind of develop as you started your studies there?
I want to say that I started knowing that I wanted to get a minor in writing, but now that you ask, I don't actually know. I don't remember, but I yeah. think so. I mean, I knew that I wanted to do poetry, and I knew I wanted to do something with writing. When I established that, was it before or was it during? I don't remember.
Yeah, so you said you've worn a lot of hats, mm-hmm. Actor, writer, producer. Mm-hmm. So how did you stay grounded and motivated across all of those different roles? It seems like mm-hmm. a lot to deal with.
I think it is a lot to deal with. I would say, in terms of being an actress and being a poet, what grounds me is that I love to do those two things so much. I think my passion for the work is what grounds me. This is a very industry that's up and down, just being in the entertainment industry in general. And so you have to, something needs to ground you. And for me, it's the fact that I really do love those things. In terms of my other hats, like producer or director or educator, like with being a teaching artist, I don't do those as often, but I think what motivates me is that, like, for example, if I'm doing teaching artist work, what motivates me with that is I get to work with students. I get to see them create their own pieces, and that's exciting for me. So I would say that that motivates me. But, you know, it's hard to balance a lot of different things all at once, and I don't think it is balanced. Sometimes some things are going to get more energy than others. You just have to figure out what needs your attention the most at any one given time.
Do you think, like, do you have any specific advice for students who want to manage all of that, or, like, what mm-hmm. what kind of way you do?
I always like to recommend some type of planner, some type of organizational system. For me, I use Google Calendar to, like, clock all my dates. If it's not in there, it does not exist. And then I also love the Passion Planner. It's a type of organizer that you can literally organize your day from 6 a.m. to like 10. They divide it up into like half hour segments, and you can plan out exactly what you're doing for the day. That helps me. And it also has space for like to write your goals, to do like a roadmap for your year. Like that helps me. So the Passion Planner combined with the Google Calendar allows me to know what I'm doing, when I need to do it, but also plan out my goals and a plan for things that I want to get done. So that is helpful to me, and I recommend that whatever mechanism allows you to be organized and just plan, whether that's planning your day, your week, your month, I think that is so vital, because for me, if I don't write it out, there's too many things to manage. Mm-hmm. And I think being able to see all that I need to do is what helps me to stay focused and what helps me to be like, all right, we got a week coming up. I need to get this thing done. Let me make sure I put my time here, because this planner is showing me that, hey, this deadline is upcoming. So that's my advice.
I did see that you were featured on Button Poetry, which is like, I love that yes. like YouTube channel. It's really awesome. How did that process work for you?
Each year they do a contest, and I think the winner, whoever wins the grant, it's a poetry video contest. Mm-hmm. And whoever wins first place, I think, get $500 maybe, or at least that's what it was at the time. And so you just, yeah, you submit. I submitted my video, My Voice, My Choice, and I was selected as the runner-up. So the runner-up also gets to be featured on the channel.
Congratulations on
that. Thank you.
It's a very profound video.
Oh, thank you.
At the sales, we are preparing for, like, a professional world that's mm-hmm. fast-changing and unpredictable, as mm-hmm. you've said. You've, like, carved out a really, like, balanced career, and from what I've seen, with, like, performance, playwriting, and activism. Mm-hmm. So how do you make career decisions that honor your values? And I'll ask the second question after.
Okay.
But, like, how do you do that?
career decisions that honor my values. Yeah. I think that I listen to my gut, which might sound simple, but if something doesn't feel right, then I'm like, I don't think I want to do this. And so that has been really important to me. If I feel like I'm on the fence about something, I'll pray about it. I'll talk to my husband and or my close friends to just get their ideas, get their perspective, and then I think about it. And I think I honor my value by taking that moment to really think before I make a decision. So what I have found in my career is that there have been times when, you know, I'm speaking with someone about an opportunity and we're in the moment talking about it. And I give them an answer in the moment. And then afterwards, I'm like, oh, man, I shouldn't have said that. Or if they are asking me, so what is your fee for X, Y, and Z? And I think about it and I'm like, this amount. And then afterwards, I'm like, no, that's actually not you. Your time and your talent is actually worth more than what you said. But sometimes in the moment, I get really nervous and I feel pressure. So I just give an answer. And so what I have learned is that it's okay to say, you know what, I'm going to get back to you. I can get back to you tomorrow. I can get back to you this evening. But taking that moment, taking that pause has helped me to be able to really be specific and intentional about the opportunities that I take so that they can honor my values as a person and also my value in terms of my talent and my skill and my time.
Have you had to deny offers before because of that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. You know, I try to work with folks, especially like if it's a local group that's having me to perform for something and I know they may not have the budget to pay my actual fee. But if it's a group that I care about, that I believe in, you know, then we can negotiate. But there are certain times where it's just like, no, I'm not. My time, it's going to take too much of my time for such little money. And if it's something that I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to have to say no to this one. And, you know, that's sometimes I'm like, oh, man, I wish I didn't have to say no. But I have to honor myself, my value, my worth, and my time. So
that's like a really profound thing to think about when having to deal with pushing that kind of opportunity away.
Mm-hmm.
I know it can, at least for me, as like a performer, that kind of thing can like really like land on you.
I know.
But yeah, what do you think like young artists should consider when they're trying to figure out what they should be accepting, how to like gauge their self-worth through that? Mm-hmm. It's a very like capitalistic industry. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's something that I've learned over time. Like even now, sometimes I'm like, I don't know. What do I charge for this? I don't know. So talking to people in my field who also do the same things that I do or similar things is helpful. I think it can sometimes feel like, I don't want to ask. You know, it seems like such a personal question to ask. So what do you make for this? Or how much do you charge? But I think it's so important to have those conversations. If you don't ask, then you literally will not know. I think also, you know, taking into account what it takes for you to do said performance. Like if I'm being hired to do a poetry set, how long is the set? Are they asking me to do a piece that I now have to write in, that I don't have in my arsenal already, that I have to write specifically for this event? That's going to be a higher fee. That's, you know, considering what exactly is it taking out of your time to give yourself to this performance and trying to put a number to that. And then thinking about what do I need for this? How much do I need to make in this for this performance and to feel like it was worth it for me to come out here? You got to get ready. You got to prepare. You're like there's so many things. It's more than just doing the performance. And I think you have to account for all the things that go into it.
What does it mean to you to honor your community through your art? I know you said that you came from Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you sometimes reference that in your work. What do you think?
To honor my community means that I do work that speaks to their experiences. I think it's doing work that is honest, that doesn't just represent my community in one way. I can talk about the joys. I can talk about the struggles. I can talk about the silly things. I like to honor my community by showing them in a nuanced way, not just one, you know, just not a singular way. And yeah, I think and that community can, it changes depending on what I'm talking about. Like, yes, my community could be Harlem, but my community can also be Black people or Black women specifically. It can be my community of poets, of actors. Like, I have various communities that I am a part of, and I honor them by putting their experiences, their feelings, their emotions, being a representation and putting that on the stage or in a book or whatever, just representing them, that to me is honoring them.
How did you cultivate a sense of purpose into your work, and how do you think like students can start to like observe their community around them to do that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it's kind of figuring out what things are you passionate about, you know, whatever communities that you're in, what are the things that get you fired up, you know, What are the subjects that you're feeling like, you know what, I don't see enough representation for this thing in the theater world or in the spoken word scene or on television or in film. You know, I feel like there's a lack of representation for this thing. So maybe that's the thing you want to advocate for. I'm a big fan of like journaling and just writing things out to brainstorm. You know, if you don't know what your particular voice is, what your passion is, just try to do some free writes and figure out, all right, yeah, I know I'm interested in X, Y, Z. Now, which one of these things would I really want to expand upon? And I think in that way, you can start to get to know, okay, I think this is what I want to speak to. This is where I want my art to go. Watching art, consuming art, sometimes, a lot of times, that is helpful for me to just getting inspiration. So I think, yeah, I think it's all around you. And so figuring out what are the things that when you hear it, when you see it, you're like, yeah, this resonates. I want to talk about this thing. And I think that could help you on the path to figuring out your voice and what you want to express in your art.
On the topic of writing, mm-hmm. we actually do have a playwriting class here at DeSales. And it's currently happening. It's almost done, obviously, because the semester's almost done.
Yes.
but they have to write a one act at the end of the year, mm-hmm. their semester. Do you have any advice that you would give young writers who are also kind of grappling with that like pressure to make something stage worthy? Mm-hmm. I know that's something that a lot of them were thinking about when, mm-hmm. or do you even have just any messages to our playwriting students?
Yeah, I would say find your voice first and then worry about whether it's stage worthy. like write the thing and then you can figure out the staging. I always tell the story of how literally, so I have a play called Renaissance in the Belly of a Killer Whale about gentrification in Harlem that I wrote with three other women, and it's a poetry infused play. Now in 2011 or 2010, the end of 2010, when I was presented with the opportunity to write a play, one of my former acting teachers was doing a play reading series at the historic Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture in Harlem. And he said, you know, can you do a play about gentrification in Harlem that's poetry infused and that's with like two to three other women? And I was like, okay, I guess. I literally had never written a play before, but I knew that I was a poet. And so I had, you know, skill in writing, and I knew that I was a BFA graduate, and I've been acting in plays since fifth grade, so I know the concepts of a play and how it generally works. So I decided to just be like, all right, I'm gonna do it. I got my friends together, three other women who were good friends of mine, and the first thing we did was just figure out what stories do we want to tell, what are the main things we want to talk about in terms of gentrification in Harlem. Once we decided on those topics, then we were like, okay, let's each of us go home and write 3 to 5 poems or scenes related to each one of these topics. Then we brought them in together. We shared them. We figured out which ones we actually wanted to use. And then I figured out what would be the through line to connect them all. And that is literally how we wrote our play. we hadn't taken a class. We did not study playwriting, mm-hmm. but we just figured out what stories do we want to tell, and then we brought it together. And after doing that staged reading, then we got the opportunity to do it on stage at the Times Square Arts Center, and we had a director. Alfred directed it. And so eventually, after we started touring it to colleges, then I became the director. But I got that experience from watching someone else. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. we literally learned as we were going. So I just encourage students, if you're, you know, this pressure of, oh, is it going to be stage worthy? Just write the thing. And you might be able to collaborate with someone who is experienced in a certain area, whether that's directing or playwriting, that might be able to help you out and hone things. But you want to make sure you write it first. I think that is what is so important. So, yeah, just do it. Because, listen, there are things that are stage worthy that I may not agree that are stage worthy, stage worthy, but they're on the stage, you know? So don't let anybody else's opinion stop you. So,
do you think it was a very different experience to work with multiple people to write something compared to, like, just using your own mind to write something?
I think it is a difference. I have not myself written a full-length play. Mm-hmm. It's something that I do want to do, and I will do. I will do. But I think it is a difference. I loved being able to collaborate. And so maybe that's also some place that you start. If you're feeling overwhelmed, like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. The thought of writing a whole play seems like a huge task. Then maybe you collaborate. And maybe that might be a good way to ease into it.
We're very excited that you're going to be hosting a masterclass here in a little bit. Could you give us an introduction to what we can expect in that masterclass?
Yeah. It's a workshop called Poetry Meets Performance. And, you know, in my workshops, I love to empower my students with a toolbox, a poetry toolbox, so that they have the tools to be able to create their own work. That's kind of what we'll be experimenting with. They'll do some writing. They'll see some performance. They'll share their work. I'll have time for questions and answers. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing what the participants create for their poems. I'm very excited.
So am I. It's going to be so cool. Yeah. So, like, how did you kind of, like, figure out what you wanted to teach or kids and what you wanted to bring to children at, or not children, but, like, you know, students. Yeah, at colleges.
You know, honestly, I was going to be doing a workshop at the Wilma. And so I had already planned for that. And then Jessica asked me about doing a workshop out here. And the thing she was asking, it was like, this is exactly pretty much what I'm going to be doing at the Wilma. So it just worked. Like, I tweaked it a bit for DeSales, but it just worked out. I mean, I think it'll be great, especially because I believe the students are they all theater students, right?
Yes. Yeah. They're all part of the theater department.
Right. So it's perfect. Because this workshop blends theater with spoken word. So I think it just really worked out.
That's amazing. Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. And finally, uh-huh. I would kind of like you to, I'm going to, like, roll out a little red carpet. Do you have anything you want to promote on this podcast? What should we be looking for you in?
Yes. Okay. So I have a poem called A Black Girl in Her Braids. It has become a viral anthem on social media, and it will now be a children's picture book published by Penguin Random House, and it will be released on January 6th. And so please just be on the lookout for that. I would love for folks to pre-order the book and support me in that. I think I really believe in this picture book, and I'm so excited for it to be out in the world next year. So definitely look out for that. And other than that, you know, if you follow me on social media and you join my mailing list, which you can sign up for it on my website, JaleenClarkOwens.com. I definitely send out, you know, emails with information about what's coming up. So stay tuned.
That's so exciting. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on this podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm excited to see what the students take away from this. I've certainly taken away a lot. So thank you very much.
Awesome. Yay. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to our pilot podcast of The Sopa Pod.
The Sopa Pod.
The Sopa Pod.
Sopa Pod.
Sopa Pod.
Sopa Pod. Sopa Pod.
Black girl in her braids. A black girl in her braids. Can't tell her nothing. Please don't touch it. You know she looks amazed. A black girl in her braids. A black girl in her braids. Protective style for a while is one that always slays.